And as we heard last week, we talked about and we went through chapter 11 of this Hall of Fame of Faith and all the exploits of faith and men and women who were as imperfect as we are, but standing and trusting God and taking him at his word. And amazing things happened for them and the people around them. And as we left off last week, we went into chapter 12, and we're going to pick up there and then kind of move back and forth into the scriptures. We're going to look at several different scriptures this morning. But as we ended last week's message, as we kind of ran through the last part of the chapter 11, we said, now, because of all of this, you know, therefore or wherefore, depending on your translation, meaning basically the same thing, what did we just read about all those who walked in faith, all those who pleased God by faith, all of those who did these things because they trusted God and took him at his word, all of those who are there to go before us, to encourage us, because of what we read, therefore we also, us today, you're part of the we also. Amen? Okay, just making sure. Make sure this is on all the time. We also, since we, so again, speaking to us, are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, sometimes we have that thought about, oh no, when we're here, there is a big window in heaven, and Moses and David and Abraham, they're all looking down at us going, what's Jack doing today? How's he doing? Tim, is he doing all right? We're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses looking at us and saying, hey, they're not running as fast as I ran. They're not running as good. No, that's not what it is. It's those that really had gone before us. They're the cloud of witnesses that surround us, that is our heritage, if you will. Those who already walk this life in faith. Those who went before us. Those who we read about. Those who, if you will, surround us as we remember to look into his word and we hear the stories and we remember what they had done and what God had done through them. We are surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses to encourage us, to help us, to spur us on. Because of this, and since we have those that have gone before, since we can read about them today, since we can, if you will, surround our minds with these wonderful stories that are true stories from the Word of God, things that actually happened, things that were written down for us so that we can grow and learn from them, since all of that is there, let us lay aside every weight. And the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You probably heard that before, but I'm going to remind you, we are in a race. A race to where? To finish the course that God has presented before each one of us. Some of us have a winding race, and some of us have a straightforward sprint race, and some of us have a long marathon race, and some of us have a race that's going uphill and downhill, and some of us have to go this way. I mean, we all have a different course, and God sets it before each one of us. It's our life. It's our life. It's the place and the place and the path that God has set before every single one of us. And as we look at the stories and the courses that the others ran before us, you're not going to run the same race Moses ran. That was his race. You're not going to run David's race. That was his race. You're not going to run Paul's race and Peter's race. You're going to run your race. But as you look at their race, you realize that one of the things that you and I must do is that we need to lay aside every weight. And the sin that so easily ensnares us. I am not a runner. I'm not. I enjoy exercise. I do exercise. Even in my younger days, played a lot of sports, and I ran when I was playing the sports. But outside of playing a sport, no, I don't run. Just to run, nah. You want to chase me, I'll run. You want me to catch you, I'll run. Just to run, I was never my thing. I rode bikes. I liked doing that. I would ride bikes miles and miles. I've done all kind of bike riding, stuff like that. Just never was a runner. But I do know that when I had to run, whether it's in a game or something else, man, I didn't want to have anything that's going to slow me down. I was never the fastest. I wasn't slow, but I was never the fastest. I walk real fast, though, by the way. No, it's funny. I do. I just walk very fast. Meg says, slow down. I like to walk to church sometimes on Tuesday nights. You know, instead of driving the car and looking for a space, I walk from in Philadelphia. I walk in the city. It takes me about a 15-minute walk. And sometimes people will walk home with me, and I have to keep slowing down because I keep looking. And I'm sorry. I just walk really fast. They say, but you got such short legs. How do you walk so fast? I don't know. You don't need long legs to walk fast. You just got to keep moving, man. You know. But I do know I don't want anything to slow me down. I don't want anything to hamper me. I want to get to my destination. I'm going to finish whatever that course is, that period of time. If I'm walking, 2 miles, 5 miles, whatever, I want to just walk and walk, but I don't want anything to slow me down or hinder me. And as we walk this Christian walk or run this Christian race, we don't want to have anything that's going to slow us down or trip us up or hold us back, ensnare us. You want to get rid of all the weights. See, the weights are things that aren't necessarily sin, but they're things that keep us distracted when we run the race, things that we are spending time with. Jack and I were talking this morning. There's a lot of stuff that distracts us, right, Jack? A lot of stuff that we want to do things that we're supposed to do, but we're distracted by stuff. And we're like, that's like a weight. It's slowing me down. Jesus wants me doing this, but I've spent 2 hours doing that, and that's just a weight that just kept me from doing what I really should have been doing in my walk, in my race. Let the Holy Spirit illuminate those things today and say, no, I don't want that way. I'm going to take that off. It's too heavy. It's too much. It's slowing me down. It's impeding my progress in my Christian life. Whatever that be, it's going to be different for you than it is for me. I know as I say these things, the things that the Holy Spirit showing me, yeah, Joe, you got to get some of that stuff out. That's not necessarily bad stuff, but it's slowing me down. It's got to go. But then there's sin. There's sin in our lives, unfortunately. Sin that easily besets us, King James, ensnares us, captures us. These sins, we have to get rid of them and the weights. We need to repent of the sins. We need to deal with the sins. We got to get them out of our life. Some sins are very easily avoided, but we don't avoid them. We were talking last week I think it was a Bible study, we were talking about David and temptation with Bathsheba and the sin with Bathsheba. And David was not tempted as much as Joseph was to sleep with Potiphar's wife, but Joseph did the right thing. He saw the temptation of the sin. He just ran away. He said, I'm out of here. David kept looking. David inquired. David made an invitation. David fell headlong into it. He could have avoided that sin. He could have saw her on the roof and realized, oh, I need to go back inside. But he didn't. He didn't avoid the sin. So some sins are easily avoided, but we don't. Some sins we actually, don't throw, send me letters and so throw tomatoes at me now, but some sins we admire in ourselves. Prideful things. Things that aren't, necessarily bad, but it's full of pride in us. And it's like, no, it's sin. It's sin. We've got to lay that aside. There's ensnaring sins that creep in and like a vine or like a boa constrictor. They might start and just be at your ankle. Next thing you know, it's got your leg, and then it's up to your midsection. Then you can't breathe, and it's got you, man. And you're ensnared. Get rid of them. Get rid of them now. And yes, it's true. All sin is deadly. All sin is dangerous. But some are even more lethal, like quickly. It's like, boom. But you got to get rid of all of them. Not just the highlights. Not just the ones you say, oh, that's a real dangerous sin. I got to get rid. No, all sin is deadly. Get it out. So you and I then can run this race, however that race, whatever the course is for every one of you. For every one of us, we can run that race without the weights, without the sin that ensnares us, and we can run it with endurance. I want to say it right. It's a Greek word, and that Greek word is hupopome. And what that word means, it's a Greek word that means it's the endurance to be able to go and accept the things and not just accept them by saying, oh, whatever it is. It's to say what's before us, and with endurance, we see that how the Holy Spirit and God's Word allows us to overcome the obstacles, to overcome the things in our race, to keep us moving. See, again, I'm not a runner. I know some of you are, and some of you run long distances, but I do know enough to know there's a point, no matter how good shape you are, that you're running, and there's one point you say, I just want to stop now. And it may only be like 10 minutes into a race that you're going to run for the next, you know, 40, 50 minutes. You're like, I want to stop now. But you have the endurance to keep on going, to take the next step, to take the next step, to take the next step. And next thing you know, okay, now I ran 15 minutes. Now I ran 20 minutes. Now I ran 30 minutes. Now I'm up to 60 minutes. I did it. I made it. I reached the goal. Hupapome. Patience that doesn't sit down and accept things, but the patience that trusts God to master those things, to overcome. That's the endurance that we need by faith to finish our race with joy. With joy. Because we look at Jesus and we see his walk, and he finished his race with joy. It was with joy he went to the cross. See? It says, looking unto Jesus, Colossians chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, the ultimate example, though he's much more than an example, is Jesus Christ. He's our example. He's who we look to. Yes, look back in David and Moses and Abraham and all those that go on before us, but look at Jesus. Because Jesus is more than an example. Jesus is the one who is at the starting line of our race. You know, race, they shoot the gun, everybody just goes, all right. He's there at the starting line. He shoots the gun. And Jesus, now I'm going to show you, I like to move fast here. Jesus is already at the finish line. He's at the starting line, at the finish line. At the same time, by the way. That's a God thing. He's at the starting line, at the finish line. And that's pretty cool. He begins the race, and he's there when we finish the race. But guess what? Jesus is over here. Gun goes off. Jesus is already there at the end of the race. He's with every step we're taking in the race. He's the author, the finisher, and he runs the race along with us. Oh, Jesus, you're so amazing. How marvelous we sang that song. How wonderful, how marvelous. I believe you could find some, I don't know if the writer of the original hymn, how marvelous, if he had this in mind, but you could look at like Psalm 139. How wonderfully and marvelous am I made. Your thoughts are towards me. He thinks of us. He says, here's a race. I set it before you. And he doesn't say, now just go and I hope you get there and you do okay. He says, no, I'm going to be there when you finish, but I'm going to be there every step of the way too. Wow. Talk about endurance. Because he's the one who helps us to endure. And we know that by faith, because he started our race, he gave us the course to run, he'll be there when we finish, he'll run alongside us, because Philippians 1:6 says that he who's begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he's at the starting point, the finish line, and all the way. So we could run that race with joy, and then looking at him and see the race he ran and realize that even if my legs hurt, even if I'm really getting breathy and my ribs start to hurt, and even if I'm starting to feel like I just want to stop, we said, no, you can run this race with joy even when it gets really hard. Because Jesus finished his race with joy because he realized what it meant to finish that race, which meant our salvation. And he loved us that much. He said, I'm going to keep going all the way through. Father, if there's any way, this can pass, but not my will, but thine be done. And then he was settled in his heart, and he went to the cross, and he saw that cross and knew what he was going to face, and he did it, the Bible says, with joy, even though he was agonizing. We can have agony in our Christian race and have joy at the same time when he's with you every step of the way. And you know he is. Jesus kept the course. He kept his progress. You know, the Bible says before the last few weeks of his life or whatever period of time in the last year of his life, he says that he knew he was going to Jerusalem and he set his face like flint, going right to what he knew he was going to face, but he did it with joy because he never lost his love. Faith. Jesus didn't need faith. We do. We look to him to see how he finished his race. But we do finish ours by faith, trusting Jesus every step of the way, even when it's shameful at times. There'll be shame that comes through. Even when it hurts. Even when they speak terribly of us. Even when everybody else stops running the race around us. Because eventually Jesus sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he is there. Even now, the Bible says that Jesus, when he ascended back to the Father, he is at the right hand. He's now, you say, oh, well, Jesus isn't there. No, he's there because he sent us the Holy Spirit, but he's also in heaven making intercession for us. He's not an absentee Father. He is right there making intercession for us. So faith is necessary for our race, for our running, for our endurance. I got to tell you a little story. Time again. This is going to go 5 weeks. No. GPS. Who likes GPS? Who used a GPS when they went to Lancaster yesterday? Or who used a GPS for some other reasons? I don't like GPS. I don't. You know why? Because I like to know where I'm going for myself. And if I use GPS, I get really dumb going left, right, turn up, 5 miles, and I go, no, I like to know. I got to look out. And there's another reason I don't like it. When I'm in an area that I know, because I know the better way than the GPS. I know the shortcuts. Now, I run up to Lancaster often, to York, Pennsylvania. That's, you know, I've been in the road all my life. I've been I drive all the time, and I know a lot of shortcuts and little things. I know ends around and all. And going up there yesterday, Max said, put the GPS. I said, no, I know where this place is. I've been there 1,000 times. And I just went up, and we made good time, and I take back roads because I always know the expressway and, you know, 76 and everything. It always gets messed up, and people did hit that yesterday. They came from the city. They got messed up on some of that because they, you know. Anyway, so I did it. I got there. We got there fine. Everything was good. Going home, though, I said, I'm going to put the GPS on. Because I knew in my heart, I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's a Saturday afternoon, there's a lot of traffic. And as much as I don't like GPS, and I knew how I was going to go back, I didn't know what the traffic situation was like. So Meg punched it in. And we started driving and the way I thought I wanted to go, and I was doing it. I'm thinking, yeah, it's going to take me back the way I think, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden, it gets one of those alerts, and it says, accident 50 miles ahead, save 11 minutes for the different route. She said, should I press it? I said, absolutely. I don't want to sit and, you know. She pressed it. And it avoided whatever accident there was. As much as I know driving patterns, roads, I know shortcuts, I know the area that I'm in, I don't know what's 50 miles ahead. Do I? I don't know what's happening down there. How many times have I been making great time because I knew my shortcut? All of a sudden, I come to a standstill because there's something happening, construction. And I didn't know that. I wish I would have known that 5 minutes ago. I would have went this way. But the GPS knew, didn't it? The GPS ain't God. It's got some satellite and up there. And as long as Elon Musk doesn't mess up with the satellite with his SpaceX ship and all of it, it beams up and it shoots down and it tells us way ahead there's a problem. And here's the way to avoid that problem. Following Jesus by faith is kind of like that, only so much better. Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. We don't know the traps that are laid before us that we need to avoid. We don't know the bottlenecks. We don't know any of that stuff. But the Holy Spirit does. And the race that he set before us and we trust him to help us to run this race every step of the way, he's going to say at some point along the race, oh, turn a little bit, veer a little bit to the left. Stay on course. Don't get off course, but just veer a little bit to the left because there's a big pothole coming up here. And go back a little bit to the right. Okay, now run straight for right. And oh, Lord, when I follow you, the race is so much better. It's amazing because when I run the race in the course Jesus set before me, and I run because I know better, I stumble into holes. I trip up, I fall down, I go backwards, I find out, wait a minute, I just did that and I ran in a circle. That's me. As much as I think I can navigate this life, because I'm, you know, a pretty smart guy, and I'm, you know, I've been through things, and I know stuff. Not like God. So I have to humble myself and realize that I don't know how to run. I'm getting good. I should have worn my watch today. I'm getting a lot of steps in. that I don't know the course. Because I didn't design the course. He did. And he put me on that course. And he knows how to run that course that he set before me, the race that is set before me. And I have to, by faith, humble myself and say, Jesus, you know so much better. I need you to help me to run this race. I need you to run this race that's set before me. I cannot run it on my own. So, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Now, one of the other reasons I don't like GPS is sometimes they go crazy and it tells you to like turn here and there's nowhere to turn. Oh, what? But not with Jesus. When he says stop, you stop. When he says go, you go. When he says veer to the left, you veer to the left. He says veer to the right, veer to the right. When he says do this, you do that. And you know what? You'll be able to run that race that is set before you with endurance. And if Jesus allows you in this race to get caught in a little bit of a bottleneck, it's because he's working something else out that you and I cannot see that's before us. So he says, slow down, speed up. I caused this little log jam here to keep you from running too far ahead because it's not time to go up to that part yet. But we have to follow him by faith, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. See, let this mind be in us, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He took upon himself the form of human flesh. Jesus, he just took it upon himself and became like us. And he ran the course set before him that led him to the cross, led him to death. But he actually had to humble himself. Not my will, Father, but thine be done. Lord, help me to finish the course that we charted out before the foundations of the world. I don't want to veer away from the course of that cross, no matter how hard it is, not only for the physical suffering, but that I will be separated from you because of the sin of the world that's going to be upon me. But I'll run that race, Father. I'll finish the course. Because you and I love them so much. That's why I came. See, whatever race is set before us, he set us on it for a purpose. And many times that purpose is much greater than ourselves. In fact, you're going to find out that you're running this race not just for you. You're running this race for others around you. That he has a purpose in your life to impact many other lives. And we're running that race for him and for his glory. See, we need to have the right heart response to God that the Bible calls faith. We have to say, listen, I don't like GPS. I will avoid using it. It's a good tool. It is. It's a wonderful tool. But I will avoid using it because I want to kind of keep my mind active and do things that go that way. But there's times you have to use it. But when we're talking about running the race that God has before us, we have to trust him every step of the way. We have to know that he is infallible. GPS may be fallible. It may make me a little bit, you know, not use my brain as much. But when we trust Jesus, he's infallible. And he actually does not take away from our ability to help. He helps us to grow. When you follow Jesus, you get smarter. You get a lot wiser. You get a lot stronger, a lot faster. It's amazing when you follow him. So you have to have faith to say, not faith for faith's sake, faith in the one who I know who I'm following, and that is Jesus. Our trust is in him and him alone. So faith is kind of like the medium, if you will, the vehicle by which we navigate this life in the kingdom of God. In other words, you know, in this world, you need something. You have to have money to pay to do stuff like that. Well, in the kingdom, in the economy of God, we walk by faith. That's the medium of exchange, so to speak. It's faith. What we need that from God, what we need that God has provided for us, we have to accept it, receive it by faith. First of all, we have to humble ourselves and say, I need it. Second of all, we have to say, God, only you can provide it. And Lord, I don't want anything else but what you have for me because I trust you alone. I think this way, but you say this way. I'm going to, by faith, humble myself and not go this way. I'm going to go this way because I know that's what you want me to do, and I will follow you by faith. So you need faith to even be saved. The Bible says that the just, the righteous, shall live how? By faith. They're saving faith to beginning. Habakkuk, you know, he just shall live by his faith as being born again. But then Romans and Hebrews, the just shall now walk this life by faith. You're saved by faith, and now you got to walk this life by faith. See, Ephesians 2, even when we were dead in sins, Jesus hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in ages to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace we are saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by faith. We walk by faith. We overcome because he tells us in 1 John that we can overcome this world by our faith in Jesus Christ. Believing it initially that he is the Son of God, and then trusting him is the one who can not only save us, but the one that can bring us through every situation and help us in this walk and this race he has set before us. You and I pray. What good is prayer without faith? Think about that. Matthew 21. Jesus answered and said to them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. You say, oh, I want to have a different race course. I want to believe that God's going to change my race course, my walk. No, he's put you on this one. No, you said, you just read, Pastor Joe, if I believe hard enough and I pray hard enough and I have enough faith, he could change mountains, he could change this whole road. No, because you understand that we have faith in Jesus, and if he set us on this course, you understand that as we run this race, he's going to keep us on this course, and then we say, Father, help me to endure, to overcome every obstacle, because my faith is in you. I trust you, not in what I think is better for me. So when we pray about the mountains before us, we say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. And sometimes God removes the mountains, and sometimes God helps us to bulldoze through the mountains, and sometimes God helps us to walk and climb over the mountains. And sometimes God says, well, stop, because the mountain's there for a reason, for a time, because I need to slow you up a little bit. Then the mountain will be removed. We've got to just trust him. Is this making any sense? I hope. So we have to pray in faith, not doubt. Couple more scriptures and we'll close today. James says this in chapter 1. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Excuse me. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Faith to walk this walk. Faith to run this race. Faith for spiritual wisdom. Faith for spiritual worship. Faith for, if you will, spiritual wealth. When I talk about spiritual wealth, to receive all the things that Christ has for us. And I don't like to rush this, but I could finish. But our faith cannot be manufactured by ourselves, as some teach. Just will up enough faith within you. Just work it up, curse it, and just get all emotional and believe just to believe. No, God's going to give us the faith to believe to beginning, and God will give us the faith that we need to continue on. It's a gift from God. See, for by grace you are saved through faith. That is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. So salvation is a gift of God, but also the faith to even believe. That comes from Him. But how does that faith grow? How does God impart faith? Well, we just read it. Wherefore, seeing we are so compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So faith comes by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by being absorbed in the word of God. Faith comes by allowing the word of God to take root into our heart. Faith comes by we ever recognize to call upon the name of the Lord that we shall be saved, and that, Father, now that I'm saved, help me to walk this walk every day with you. It says faith comes by hearing in Romans chapter 10, hearing the word of God. Faith is the things of we hope for, the evidence of things that are not seen. So our faith will become active, if you will, and alive, as we spend time with the word of God and believe the one who authored that word, to recognize that he gives us the faith to believe in him to begin with, and the faith every day to follow him, to trust him enough. And as we look at the witnesses that went before us, we say, wait a minute, what do we have in common with them? They did the same kind of things we did, but they believed God. They believed him, and they followed him, and they trusted him. So when I'm faced with an impossible situation and God seems to be taking all of my assets and limiting them down, then I'm going to believe that God can give me the victory just like he gave Gideon the victory when he took away everything else but the 300 men. And even then, they just threw down stuff and yelled and God gave them a victory. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that they build that tabernacle that I saw yesterday. They believed it in faith and they built it in faith. Just trusting God that when they brought the animal there, that when they made the sacrifice, if they brought that sacrifice in faith, their sin was covered. And then I remember reading too that they had to look at a pole if they got bitten by a serpent to be healed. But what if that person said, why am I going to look at a stupid pole? Where's the anti-venom? What's a pole going to do? But everybody who looked at that pole in what? Faith was healed. You could say, God, sometimes I look at my situation and I go, Lord, it makes no sense. And he's going to say, look unto me. Keep your eyes on me. I have a race for you. And it's a very, very interesting and cool race. And a course that you don't know what's going to come tomorrow. And tomorrow is going to be different than the next day. But if you keep your eyes on me, I will not only be there cheering you on to the end, I will be with you every moment of that way. And you can trust me to bring you through. So we want our faith to be active. Faith in Jesus that has to have active. The difference between faith and belief, you know what it is? The difference between faith and belief is that faith is belief, but with legs. And we're going to close it. Even so faith, James says, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God? Well, you do well, but the devil believes also and trembles. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest that thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Then you see how faith works a man, excuse me, by faith a man is justified. And not by faith only. So Abraham heard the word of God, believed the character of God, was able to take his only son Isaac, we talked about last week, and take him to that place that God showed him, and Abraham was going to completely follow through on sacrificing his son because he believed in the character of God, he believed in the one who he had faith in, that he believed that even if he killed his son, God would raise that boy back from the dead and restore him back to Abraham to fulfill the promises God gave him all those years ago. That's faith. And faith doesn't come by what we think we hear from God, but what God has already said. Mary heard a very strange word from an angel. You will have a son. I don't know any man. How can that be? Oh, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Okay. And you will become pregnant. Okay. But guess what? Mary knew that God already said in his word that a virgin shall bear a child. So God fulfilled the word that he already spoke years ago into that young woman's life. So God gave the word, the Logos, and that God, Rhema, spoke the word to Mary, but it did not contradict in any way his previous word. He said, a virgin shall conceive, and she was the virgin that will conceive, and she said, let it be with me according to thy word. Because she trusted him, his word. So God's not going to wake you up tomorrow and say, here's the word for you for today. Leave your husband, leave your wife, and go with the guy over there. No, that's not consistent with the word of God. God will tell you, yeah, your husband's a mm-mm, but love him, respect him, trust me, and I'll work it all out so that this race will bless you, even though it gets hard. This race will be an inspiration to others that are running the race with you or have not yet joined the race, because you're one of now, you and I are now some of the cloud of witnesses for the next generation. Get that? And then this race will glorify me, the God who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Father, help us today to turn our eyes upon you, to look at you, to get to know you more as we read your word, as faith, it says, comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Let faith arise in our soul, but not faith for faith's sake, faith in you, our author. Faith in our finisher. Faith in the one who sticks with us every moment and every step of the way to lead us and guide us in the way that you would have us to go. That we, Father, would run this race with endurance, that we would count it all joy, and when we grow weary, we will follow you to give us what we need to continue on. That, Father, as we run this course, we believe by faith that others will be watching us, and they may come to know you and be able to run their own race that is set before them as they view us and our running of our race. But that, Father, as we keep our eyes on you, that we see you at the end. You are our end goal. That, Father, we thank you that we can endure because you're not only the author, you're not only running with us, but you are there at the very end of the race. And one day the race will be over. And we pray countless others will be with all the saints of God who by faith trusted you and believed you with your word. Father, I pray today for anyone who is here or is listening in who has never trusted you as Lord and Savior. Father, it's by faith they need to humble themselves, that they need a Savior and come to you. Father, draw them by your Spirit that today they would believe your word that they need you to save them from their sins, and they would turn to you and be born again. For your church, Lord God, let us today recognize that many of us have tried to run a different road. Many of us, Lord God, have gotten weary and stopped running. Many of us want to quit. Many of us, Lord God, have taken our eyes off you. But Father, let this word today help us to put our eyes back upon you, to trust you, to help us to endure, to run this race with joy, that we would accomplish all things that you have called us to accomplish. Revive us, O Lord. Increase our faith in you. Do great things through your people, through us, your people, that we may glorify our Father in heaven. and hear, "Well done, good race, my good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name, amen.